This morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and I would like for us to stand together as we read out of respect to God and His Word. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 17, and I want to speak to you this morning about the subject, is it possible for you to be an encouragement to someone today? Is it possible for you to be an encouragement to someone today? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So now he's going to tell us what the will of the Lord is. "And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled or controlled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." So let's begin by having a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for this good church, and thank you for Pastor. Thank you for his dear wife. And we pray, God, that you will now just encourage us today. I pray right now I need your help. I pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I pray that my mind and my heart will be yours. And I pray through the next few minutes that somebody's life might be encouraged. Somebody might be changed here today. If there's a person here that's lost, that they may see their need of salvation. If there is a person here today, Lord, who is out of fellowship with you, that their fellowship would be restored today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's a person here who needs to be encouraged today, that they will be encouraged. I pray now for your help. I pray for your wisdom, your guidance, and your direction. I need your help now, and I ask that you would help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Is it possible for you to be an encouragement to someone today? You know, one of the greatest desires that we have, that Kim and I have, through Hope Biblical Counseling Center, is that you would be encouraged in the Lord. In my daily time with God a while back, the Holy Spirit reminded me about looking for the good, the best in people, and seeking to be an encouragement to people. And our desire is to be an encouragement and help to those who have need and who need help. The number one thing that I do as a biblical counselor and marriage speaker is to try to help people move out of a feelings-dominated, emotion-controlled life and into a controlled by the Holy Spirit, biblical principle-driven life. Now, I was thinking recently, I got saved when I was 19 years old. Kim and I just recently celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary. And so we praise God that we've been serving the Lord together for 50 years, now more than 50 years. So I know we don't look that old, but, some days we feel it. But, you know, I was thinking recently about what my elementary school teacher taught me in the fourth grade in a public school. Now think of this. Now folks, that was 59 years ago. And she said this, quote, "Treat everyone nice. Be kind to everyone. Remember that even if someone is different from you, they look different than you, the Bible says to be kind." My public school teacher in fourth grade continued to say that the Bible says, be kind. You know, and so I would say, wow, look where we are today. You know, people shooting people for no good reason. We hear scorn and mockery every day through the news broadcasts. Scorn and mockery never helped or encouraged anyone. Wickedness is abounding with scorn and mockery. And here at Hope Biblical Counseling Center, we get to talk to many people. And I'm glad for those who have been able to see their lives changed for the honor and glory of God. But we've had several people and families who have finished the biblical counseling program, the 13-week program, and who have stated, God has changed our lives by being in this program. And we praise the Lord for that. So we invite you to look at some of their testimonies on the website. When people listen to biblical truth of God's word and apply it, He can give them hope and change in their life. Now, it's not just that you hear God's word and let it go in one ear and out the other. It is that you hear it and then you understand that this is something that can change me, that applies to me. Now, you know, there's no substitute. There's no substitute for learning how to be a spirit-controlled person and have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God. And I encourage you to listen to some of the powerful testimonies of biblical long-term change on our YouTube channel. I think you'll be excited to hear about people who really changed their life. People who were involved in wicked sin. People who were involved in, you know, they grew up in homes where they were treated horribly as children. And God changed their life. Amen? God changed their life. And they were able to move forward. We got people now that are serving God in powerful ways. Our next training conference, and we do these around the world. The last one was in Omaha, Nebraska. And the next one is in Mullingar, Ireland. Now, there's only 30 independent Baptist missionaries in Ireland. But we're going to go because we want to help them, and we want to help others that need help. Amen? And it's going to be 4 days of study. It's an interesting thing. We have 6 women who have been through our counseling program. They're all single from age 18 to 55 that are making the trip to Ireland. So they can be there, some of them to go through the counseling conference again, some of them to help Kim during the conference. But they're all going to live in the same house together for a week. That ought to be interesting. Now, keep it in mind, 18 to 55, you know. So, very interesting. But the real thing here is that they've all been taught what it means to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. And biblical long-term change. Now, listen, we all have a fallen nature. You know, it'd been great when we got saved that God had given us, taken away our old nature, but He didn't. So we all have a fallen nature. And I realize that a fallen sin nature, that we have a fallen sin nature and people are sinners. However, it's easy to be negative. It's easy to be critical and fault-finding person because of our sin nature. And in 44 years of ministry as a pastor and biblical counselor, I've seen many people who are not spirit-controlled people. They do not have a real, intimate, personal, passionate relationship with God. Their lives are destroyed because they don't understand how to make wise spiritual decisions. And if you do not understand what it means to have a real relationship with God and to be a spirit-controlled person, Kim can help you because there is material on the back table, one called How to Have a Real Relationship with God, the Work of the Holy Spirit in a Person's Life. You have to be, and so in essence now, keep in mind what my title is it possible for you to be an encouragement to someone today? So you have to be, to do that, you have to be saved and you have to be in fellowship with God. Do you know did you know a time? Do you really know a time when you realized that you were a sinner and that God convicted you of your sin, and you turned from your sin and yourself, and you turned to Jesus Christ, and ask Him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Now, if you're not sure about that today, that's the most important thing that you're going to make sure about. Amen? Because if you die today apart from Jesus Christ, you're going to go to a devil's hell for all eternity. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Hell is not a place that you go visit for the weekend. And if you don't like it, I'm going home. Doesn't work that way. It's for eternity. Forever. Now, you know, with a counselor recently was saying to me, I'm angry at God because I don't want to give up the things in my life, but I don't want to go to hell either. And why would God allow us and billions of people go to hell? And I said, look at it this way. You got a choice. God gave us a free will. He could have made us like robots, but He didn't. He gave us a free will. We have the opportunity to choose. Amen? And I chose to be saved. I chose to turn from my sin and myself and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. Now, the reality here is that you go from darkness to light. It'd been wonderful when we got saved that God had taken away our old nature, but He didn't. So now we have this new nature with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and we have an old nature. And you know, we can be out of fellowship with God just by what we're thinking. Now, I'll give you a stat. 65% of all the people who come into our counseling program are out of fellowship with God and don't know it. 65% of all the people that come into the program are out of fellowship with God and don't know it. 25% of them have never truly been born again. Now, they may be going to church. They might be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But they've never truly turned from themselves and turned from their sin and asked Jesus Christ to forgive them for their sins and come into their heart and be their Savior. You die today apart from Jesus Christ, it is going to be the worst day you ever had. Now, the reality of it is, though, now that you are saved, God has got some expectations for you in your life. And one of those expectations is that you use the tools that He has given you to walk with Him. Not only the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. And now there's at least 70 things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. And God then gives you tools to use. Now, I always tell all the counselees this. If you don't take your tools out of the toolbox and use them, nothing ever gets fixed. Do you know a time? You know, did you realize you're a sinner and truly repented of your sins? And now, if you have done that, now you've got some other work to do. You can't be lazy. We have an old nature, and it's imperative that we ask God about our heart every day and every moment of the day to be in fellowship with Him. Every day we're going to be faced with making decisions. Every day we've got to make a decision to be in fellowship with God. Every moment of every day. Clearly in the church today, there's not nearly enough attention given to our fellowship with God. The book of 1 John speaks about our fellowship with God being important and checking our heart about it. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? So our heart, even though we're saved, is desperately wicked. And we have to understand that. You can't let your mind run off to the junkyard. And you know, verse 10 says, Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. So every day, when I start every day, I ask God to search my heart. Now that I'm saved, 1 Corinthians 2:10 says that it is the Holy Spirit that searches my heart. So I'm going to ask Him to search. I want Him to show me if there's any sin that stands between me and Him. Amen?
Amen.
Show it to me. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to pop right here. You know, honey, you weren't exactly honest about that yesterday. Get it? You know, you didn't actually tell the truth about that. Uh-oh. What does that mean? It means I'm out of fellowship with God. Now, I want you to hear me closely. We are a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Satan works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. Okay? So Satan is going to put outside pressure on your life, and he and his minions are, you know, the Bible says that they walk about seeking whom they may devour. And you know that contextually in 1 Peter 5 is to Christians. So who is he? Who is he going after then? He's going after Christians that are out of fellowship with God. Because if you're out of fellowship with God, you're wide open for Satan to have direct access to your soul. Now think about that. The soul is where the seat of your emotions are. So Satan's desire is to get you to react emotionally. Now, if you're reacting emotionally, you know, oh man, I don't know why I did that. Or, you know, that stupid computer didn't work again. You know? Or the car won't start. Or the dog threw up for the fifth time on the floor. And you react. None of you have ever done that, right? But whose goal is that? That is Satan's goal in your life, to get you to react so you'll be out of fellowship with God. And quite frankly, when you're out of fellowship with God, all kinds of wicked and ungodly things can take place. You're capable of doing any sin that is focused on in being a spirit-controlled person in Ephesians 4. You're capable of doing any of those things, and they're capable of doing any of those things that Galatians 5 lists. So now I better be focused on being a person who is in fellowship with God every moment of every day without fail. Now I want you to hear me again clearly. Turn back to 1 John with me. Chapter 1. And just so you can see it in the Bible for yourself, 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 4. Now, notice what it says. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be what, ladies and gentlemen? Full. So God wants you to have joy. Amen? God always wants you to have hope, joy, and peace. Now, it's your choice as to whether or not you're going to have hope, joy, and peace. You make the choice. And you got to make choices every single day because you have a free will. Now, look at verse 6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if I walk into the average independent Baptist church and I walk up to people and start saying, hey, are you in fellowship with God today? You know what I would hear? Well, yes, I'm in fellowship with God. Why are you in fellowship with God? Well, I'm here today. You know, I come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I tithe, and I occasionally go on the soul winning program, so I'm in fellowship with God. You can do all those things and be out of fellowship with God. Do you hear me? You can do all those things and be out of fellowship with God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in what? Darkness. So it's possible for you as a Christian, if you're out of fellowship with God, to walk in darkness. Get it? So I don't want to walk in darkness. Now it says, and walk in darkness, we lie. So who are we lying to? We're lying to ourselves, we're lying to God, and we're lying to others. Saying we're in fellowship with God and we're not. And we don't practice. And here it says, and do not the truth. In essence, we're not practicing the truth in our life. Then we wonder why our life is in an upheaval all the time. Things aren't going well. I'm always angry. By the way, anger is a wicked sin. And I always tell everybody, anger is the hidden sin of independent Baptists. Okay? Hidden sin. Now, I want you to understand. Notice verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, present tense, cleanseth us from all sin. So, in essence, it's important now where we walk. Amen? Now, if we're gonna learn to be kind to people, we're gonna have to be in fellowship with God. If we really want to be the person who shows kindness to people, we're gonna have to be in fellowship with God. Now, notice what he says in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He's talking to Christians. So we have to deal with our sin every day. Is there any sin that stands between you and me? Then secondly, I'm going to ask this question. Is there any hurt that I'm allowing to control me right now? Would you show that to me? And then thirdly, the question I'm going to ask is there any bitterness in my heart right now? Now, only a spirit-controlled person can have a correct spirit and attitude. Only a spirit-controlled person can have a correct spirit and attitude. Now turn back to Ephesians 5, where we started today, and look with me at verse 17. Notice what it says. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Notice verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise. So now he's saying, we don't want you to be unwise about this, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So he's going to tell us now what the will of the Lord is. And he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So be filled or controlled means controlled by the Holy Spirit. I have a choice. I can be controlled by my old nature. I can be out of fellowship with God. Everything's a mess. I don't like this. I don't like that. I'm always griping about this, always upset about that. Or I can be a spirit-controlled person. And at the point of impact, I want to stop, think, submit, to God, and I want to turn this over to you. What do you want me to praise you for? What do you want me to thank you for? Now, every single day, I ask God this question after I'm done with my devotions. Who do you want me to encourage today? And I suspect on an occasion that Pastor Miller has gotten a text from me. But God says, I want you to encourage Pastor Miller today. So I'll send him a text and say, hey, brother, just thinking about you today, wanted you to know I was praying for you. Hope you're having a great day. Be encouraged today in the Lord. Now, he might have not been having such a fantastic day at that point, right? And I've had people get back to me and say, you don't know how much I needed to hear that at this moment. So I want to be in tune with God. I want to know how that I need to be encouraging others. And so part of that is being kind. Okay? Part of that is being kind to other people. Now, by the way, I'll use kindness to try to share the gospel with somebody. Be ye kind one to another. Now, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Did you notice in verse 17 it said not to be unwise? So if you're out of fellowship with God today, you're unwise. If you're not saved today, you're unwise. If you're not a spirit-controlled person today, you're not wise. So he says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you know, one of the problems that we have today in our churches is that people don't understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what we're talking about right now. The will of the Lord is not to be unwise, but to be a spirit-controlled person and be focused on having a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God and being an encouragement to others. Most of the people we talk to are only focused on who? Themselves. So, notice verse 18 says, but be filled or controlled by the Spirit. Rather than having a negative, critical, fault-finding, angry spirit, focus on what God wants. Be encouraged. Be an encouragement to others by looking for the best in people and encourage it rather than the first thing out of your mouth is criticism. Many Christians focus on the negative. It is a byproduct of what Satan wishes to accomplish in our life. Here's what God says about it. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 29. Look at Ephesians 4:29. Now, I want you to see the first word in that verse. What is the first word, ladies and gentlemen? Let means you got to make a decision. Anytime you see let at the start of a verse, means you got to make a decision. Now notice it says, let means you got to make a decision. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace or divine help unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another. That's what my fourth grade teacher was talking about. She says, be kind to everybody because the Bible says to be. Wouldn't it be great if we had a public school teacher today that could say that? Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you notice what God wants? Notice this list here. You know, notice this list of eight ugly things. Corrupt communication out of your mouth. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Clamor means public quarreling. Evil speaking and malice. You know what malice means? Deep-seated meanness. Means deep-seated meanness. What do we see around us today? We see malice, deep-seated meanness. Now, all these things are, the Bible says, all these things are to be put away from you. Have you found yourself doing this? Folks, many Christians handle themselves deceitfully, wickedly, because they're out of fellowship with God and they can hurt many people. It's a measurement of our spiritual life to put these off and do what? Look below. Look at verse 32. It says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Did you notice that? What does God want? Be ye kind one to another. Notice this list. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Because Christ hath forgiven you. We're sinners, just as our neighbor is. Aren't you glad that Christ forgave you? Amen? Let me encourage you today to be a spirit-controlled person. Focus on how you can encourage someone today. Every day, I ask God that question. Who do you want me to encourage today? You know, when he shows me that, I send a text, a phone call, an email, a card. Many Christians are masters at looking for critical, negative, and fault-finding things. Look for something to tell a person, especially your children and your spouse, you did well today. That was good. I'm proud of you. You know, I love Kim. I tell her that every day. I'm very thankful for her. I'm thankful for what she means in my life. You know what? The person who's sitting next to you, your husband or your wife, do you think that they might need to hear that you love them and that you're doing good and I'm thankful for you? Wouldn't that be nice? Instead of, that old hag's at it again. Think about it. Look for something to tell a person, especially your children and your spouse, that you did well today. You know, look for good in people and encourage them. Everybody's a little tired. You can be a great encouragement today and a positive focus for a friend, neighbor, family member, church member, or just someone you came across today. Be an encourager, not a fault finder. Say it again. Be an encourager, not a fault finder. Is it possible to see the good in people? Yes, with a spirit-controlled life. How does a spirit-controlled person think? Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Remember, be the vessel God can use today by asking the Holy Spirit to show you if you're living your life not dealing with your sin, your lusts. Are you living in the sin of allowing selfish, carnal thinking or listening to rule your life and making you react or rationalize your sin? Maybe you found yourself today in this message by negatively focusing all the time rather than being a spirit-controlled person. Realize this is not honoring and pleasing to God. It'll end up in destruction and emotional distress in your life. God will help us if we submit to Him. Don't quit in the middle of a circumstance or disappointment, but refocus to see exactly what God wants you to learn. Be all you can be for Him today and have a powerful testimony of living a spirit-controlled, yielded, godly life that is serving and living with humility, joy, and peace. We encourage you today to make Jesus Christ real in your life. Make Him real in your life.